You are listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders podcast network. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to The Game Plan on the Oakland Raiders podcast network. I'm your host, JT. This week we get you ready for the Raiders as they travel to Arizona to play the Cardinals at State Farm Stadium on Sunday, November 18th. A lot to get to on The Game Plan. Again, I'm excited. I love the guest that we're delivering for you every week. Thanks to the Raiders and a lot of the people that want to come on this podcast. Rich Eisen will join us from the NFL Network and the Rich Eisen Radio Show. One of the great Raider legends of all time, the great Jim Plunkett, Scott Baer from NBC Sports Bay Area, who does an incredible job embedded with this team. He's a Raider insider. And Adam Archuleta, former seven-year safety in the NFL, who's on the call for CBS in the booth for this game. We'll talk to him a little bit later on. What we do in every podcast is we take a quick look at the last game, and the Raiders once again struggled in their loss at home on the Salute to Service game, 20-6 to the Chargers. The Raiders are now in a situation where they've gone nine quarters without a touchdown, and they are struggling to compete and get wins. This is an opportunity for them to get back in the win column as they're taking on a two-win team in the Cardinals, a team that is 2-7 and coming off a loss last week to the Kansas City Chiefs in a game that was much closer than the box score. They lost to Kansas City on the road 26-14, and they were in that game. And their defense played well, and they feel like even though they're a two-win team, they have a little bit of momentum coming in on the defensive side. They got good players. Chandler Jones has 8.5 sacks. Larry Fitzgerald, a future Hall of Famer. David Johnson, if you're a fantasy fan, you know what he can do if he gets going. He's one of the best players in the league. He's been fighting through injuries. He's healthy again. And they have a rookie quarterback in Josh Rosen, who is struggling at this time. And you want to talk about a struggle. Arizona, when it comes to offense, is the worst team in the league. They're dead last in the NFL in total offense at number 32. And if you look at the numbers, they really jump out at you. They only have 2,126 yards this year, 166 in the passing game, which is 31st in the league, and they're dead last in rushing at only 70.4 yards a game. That trails the next team by 10 yards. That is really difficult. They've scored 124 points, only 13.8 points per game. That's 31st in the league, second to last. Their defense is a little bit better than that. They're ranked 18th at 25 points per game, as the Raiders are ranked 30th overall, giving up 30.2 points a game. So the strength of this team is the defense, where the Raiders' strength is their offense. So something is going to have to give in this game. I always look at one stat, defensive rushing. How many yards are you giving up on the ground? They're almost dead even. Arizona at 28th, they're giving up 140 yards a game. And the Raiders at 29th, giving up 141 yards a game. So I don't know which running back is going to get off, but this is a game where both offensive coordinators believe they could run the football against both of these teams. For the Raiders, the injuries keep piling up. No Martavis Bryant and Jordy Nelson. That means next man up with Aitman, LaFell, and Roberts at the wide receiver position. And I think that's a strength of the Raiders. Even though they've been depleted, the Amari Cooper trade, if you look at the depth that they had at wide receiver, I didn't think we'd go this deep into the depth chart, but that's where we're at now. And Jared Cooper is having arguably a Pro Bowl year. So he's going to have a big game here down the middle of the field. And for Derek Carr, we're going to spend some time talking about him on this podcast. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. Derek Carr was nominated for the 2018 Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award, which is a tremendous honor for the quarterback because he's going through a very difficult year this year. And Derek has been a pro throughout this entire process. This is a nice honor here, and I hope he wins this award coming off this nomination. So looking back at the last game, unfortunately, the best highlight offensively was Townsend's fake punt, which happened early in the game.
Johnny Townsend, who has been very inconsistent, trots out of the field.
It's a fake, and he's got distance. Townsend first down, midfield Raiders, 40, 35, 30, 25, and out of bounds.
Yeah, that was a nice play there. That got everybody going. It showed that the Raiders were willing to take chances in that game. And Johnny Townsend needed a bounce-back game. He had his highest punting grade of the season against the Chargers, which was second amongst punters at 64.4. He led all punters this week with 4.78 average hang time, and he had the 42 yards rushing, so that was special. Derek Carr in the game, 24-37 for this game, and if you look at overall, he's passed 17,000 yards in his career. But a lot of people are pointing out the fourth down play where this happened.
Shotgun snap, Carr under pressure, rolling and throws it in the dirt on a fourth and five.
Didn't even give anybody a chance to make a play. I don't understand that one.
You got to at least just throw it up. Just situational awareness non-existent on that play for Carr.
And that's on the Chargers broadcast network, and I wanted to play that because that's really important on that play. A lot of people were scratching their head on why there weren't more options on that play, something that we'll get into a little bit later on in the podcast. But here's where we're at. Raiders are traveling on the road. They're playing in their region in the Southwest where a lot of fans have tickets and they're going to be going to this game. I think this week also was about John Gruden and some of his comments again. Paul Gutierrez from ESPN.com sat down with Mark Davis. Mark Davis has the back of John Gruden. John Gruden is talking to Mark Davis, and they're trying to figure out a way to work through this season so they could be productive before they head into what will be the most active offseason, arguably, in Raider history. Because right now, they have the lead track for the number one pick overall in the draft. And that wasn't a goal coming into the season, but that's where we are at today. For John Gruden, coming off the Charger game, he understands that the injuries to the wide receivers are a big issue.
Well, we have a lot of injuries. You know, Jordy Nelson got hurt today, hurt his knee, missed, I think, four series. And then Martavis Bryant hurt his knee. We're really concerned about him. You know, LaFell has come in here and really given us a lift. So we're going to lean on him, obviously, in the last 7 weeks.
It's one of the things that Coach Gruden does. It's next man up for many reasons, and LaFell's playing well, Seth Roberts, and clearly when you look at Aitman getting an opportunity, they have to step up. That's your job in this league. If you come off the practice squad, if you've been inactive, and you get in the game to play at the best ability that you can play at, and Coach Gruden expects that. Also, there's a lot to play for, because for fans wondering where this team's going to be at the end of the year with wins and losses, Gruden points out again, they're trying to win all these games.
We're just going to keep working hard, and we're just going to keep practicing hard, preparing as hard as we can, keep developing the players that are here. Hopefully it translates into wins, but we got a lot to play for. We got 7 weeks to spend with these players. Some of these guys are getting better and better.
And he pointed that out this week. We've talked about the rookie tackles, especially Colt Miller, who's been playing injured, and he's tough, and he's fighting through this, and he's learning how to play as this team is losing, and he's playing with an injury. He's a tough player, and John Gruden continues to point this out. But we all know this has been a very difficult season on the field, and John Gruden wants to make sure that the fans understand his plan.
You know, this will be a year that a lot of us will never forget, and it's painful. It's really hard. It's painful. It's going to be hard to sleep again, hard to get up in the morning, but we're going to keep working hard, and this will be the foundation that this program leans on, mental toughness, physical toughness, doing everything you can in the eye of adversity. And I know it sounds corny to some people, but that's the grit and the toughness that this organization was built on, and that's what we're going to continue to strive for.
For me, who's in the sound business with this podcast and on radio, I think that's a tremendous soundbite that's going to be around for years to come, because this is adversity times 10. This is a team fighting every week to go out there, not knowing what's happening around them in regards to personnel going forward. And John Gruden expects all the players to show up, play hard, and this will be a building block for the turnaround of this team and this franchise. And I believe in it. And I'm proud to say that on the radio, on social media, and especially on this podcast, you're either all in with Coach Gruden and what he wants to do. And if you don't agree all the time, you can voice that opinion. But I think Raider fans need to come together during these adverse times, because this will help the Raider Nation going forward. No matter where you live, no matter where you download this podcast, if you're a season ticket holder in Oakland, if you're going to be one in Las Vegas, wherever you are at, you got to fight through this patch. It's a rough one, the roughest I've ever seen, and I think John Gruden is the perfect leader to lead the Raiders through this time. I really mean that. From knowing Coach Gruden for 20 years, it's tough. It's never been this tough in his life as a coach, and he's looking for building blocks and players that can come with him and go forward with the franchise in years to come. Let's get to our guest, Rich Eisen, one of the most successful broadcasters in football. Well, Rich, you've been doing this a long time, and fans are emotional, and obviously analysts look at this. Looking back on the moves from Mack to Cooper, we're just not accustomed to this happening in the regular season, dating back to Lombardi, going through Gil Brandt, who's our friend, and the Cowboys, and Landry, and all the modern teams that we've seen with Belichick. Could this be a trend going forward? If you don't have a competitive team, if you don't like the roster, you make the move in season instead of waiting till after January and into the draft.
I think it's a unique situation only in the fact that you never see coaches get 10-year, $100 million contracts.
Right.
So, I mean, coaches usually have contracts, as we all know, 4/10 the size and leashes, if you will, shorter than that. And an ownership that isn't on the hook for all that commitment, and thus, in a way, potentially boxed in. So it's a unique situation. It really is. Nobody else is going to be doing that sort of stuff because, like I said, they don't have 9 more years of a contract on the back end. I'm sure there might be some sort of a buyout. But the thing, too, is, you know, it's not like Gruden's forgotten how to coach, or that the game has passed him by. I mean, he is as current as they come from calling the games on Monday Night Football. His fired football coaches association that he had his own film cave that he put together, and the number of coaches that he would talk to, and they talk ball and talk schemes and talk innovations, and so he knows everything that's out there, and he understands the college game to the next level and what works at this level. I think he clearly just looked at the roster and thought he doesn't have guys to win right now, tried to, you know, put some spackle over it with all of these veterans, and then the Khalil Mack thing hits, and I honestly don't know what the hell happened, because he's exactly the player you do pay in the NFL. He's exactly the type of impact player that you do give that money to, that you do find the cap space for, that you do put, if it has to be 20% of your cap to figure out how to put the rest of the roster. He is the type of guy that you draft and develop and put in the community and let the community fall in love with and let him be part of the community fabric that you keep forever. So I have no earthly idea what happened there. But I do know that they do have a draft haul that they will be able to, if they choose right. You just take a look at what the Cleveland Browns did in this year's draft, and I'm not saying that with a hint of irony. Normally, when you talk Browns and draft choices, that they don't make that's not positive. But you know, Mayfield, Chubb, Ward, just to name three right off the top of my head. You know, the Raiders will be, as it currently stands, have 3 of the top 23 picks in the draft this year. So they can rebuild. The question is Derek Carr next? I mean, that's the legit question. Is he next? Is his contract tradable? Is the next quarterback of the Raiders somewhere in college that Gruden loves and thinks that he can work up? I mean, that's the next question here. Because at some point the page is going to get turned over the next 6 weeks to figure out how this can be avoided in the future.
Rich Eisen's our guest. And, Rich, I had a front row seat to when John Gruden was working with Rich Gannon before he left and won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. And from knowing John Gruden as long as you have, do you think he's the type of guy that will stick with Carr because he loves his passion? The fact that he loves to get there with him, break down film, he's passionate. We've already seen him on film in 2016 have a borderline MVP year before he got injured. How can John Gruden get the most out of him with this roster, keep his confidence up so he has the opportunity to go forward with
him? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the question is, JT, is Carr the guy for Gruden? I mean, I have no idea. So that's the question. Do you build around him, or do you find a way to get out from his contract They've got a ton of space. Is Le'Veon Bell a guy that you want in the silver and black? Is that the guy to put next to Carr and spend, you know, a considerable portion of your cap on a running back and a quarterback? I don't have any earthly idea what's going through the Raiders' mind right now. None. And that's the ultimate question that needs to be answered. After 16 games of Derek Carr being in front of him and him evaluating it and also knowing what issues might be had elsewhere on the roster that could affect an evaluation of him, is he the guy? And that's something that needs to be hammered out. And then the rest of the league needs to figure out on Derek Carr, could he be just the same version of Amari Cooper? By that I mean you could see already in the first two games of Dallas's tenure with him, I mean, the guy has got an incredible ability to run routes and get open. And the question is, if he's showing that with Dallas over the first two games, where the hell was that over the last year and a half in Oakland? With the exception of that Kansas City game on Thursday night last year, I mean, he just disappeared. How the hell that happened and why? I mean, there's just so many questions on that. I don't mean to be, doom and gloom, but obviously with one win entering week 11, there's a ton of questions as to what happened and why, and how germane is that as you try to figure out the let's not have this happen again.
Rich, when you're in Canton, Ohio, I love the work you do at the Gold Coat Ceremony.
Thank you,
sir. When you emcee that. You see all the great Raider legends. One thing about the many things about this organization is the connection with the alumni and the Hall of Famers. And from my perspective, Mark Davis and John Gruden are on the same page of getting the Raiders back eventually to a Super Bowl championship contender. And that's what makes this so difficult, because John Gruden's been out of the league, and now he comes back in and he looks at the Rams and the Saints and what Andy Reid's doing with the Chiefs, Belichick obviously, and he wants the team at that level. And you know this from knowing so many Raider greats. Is Gruden the type of guy who can do that? Because he comes out of the media, and as you said earlier in our conversation, we know he can coach, but he's got to go back to basics and rebuild it again.
Look, we remember the time when Gruden was with the Raiders the first time. And we remember him winning a Super Bowl with Tampa. And as much as you want to hate on him to say that he did it with, you know, Dungy's players, fine, you could say that. But he still won it. And he still got it done. We could talk about that all we want. But all the kids that are coming out of college right now know him as the Monday Night Football guy. So I just don't know if any cult of personality from him is what's going to get through the day. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, he's got a great way about him. I mean, when you, it's contagious when you're around him. He's one of the best characters I've ever met. He's a great storyteller. He's fun to be around. You want to be around him. He's got an incredible energy. And, you know, those can make good coaches if you get the right players in. The question is has he evaluated a roster that was just 2 years removed from a 13-win season and was robbed of what appeared to be a great playoff run by an awful injury that happened late in the season and no backup quarterback to step in like Nick Foles and take him the rest of the way. Is this the proper evaluation of that roster? As we watch Khalil Mack play Sunday Night Football for a 6-3 Bears team and Amari Cooper play a big game in week 11 for a 4-5 Cowboys team, and taking a look at some other players that like Bruce Irvin will be on that field as well. You know, what is the evaluation of this team? Is this a proper evaluation of it? I just don't have the answer for you on that.
It's going to be entertaining to watch. You have to admit, going into the draft, as you said, with all that salary cap room and these picks that Coach Gruden has to hit a home run.
It's sitting there, like the picks and the cap room. I mean, there's a ton of opportunity to maneuver and get this thing done quick and fast with players who can be impactful from the get-go and turn it around fast. Certainly if you've got a quarterback who can pull the trigger. So it's not like I'm saying, I'm not sitting here saying it's impossible. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be one of those hot take artists in our business saying it'll never happen, Gruden's the worst, or he's an idiot, or he doesn't know what he's doing. We have no idea, none. The Raiders could choose first overall the perfect guy. I think it's going to be Nick Bosa. You get him put him in the same division as his brother. That'll be a lot of fun for years to come. You know, then you know, with your middle pick that's coming to you from most likely, I think the Bears should finish worse than the Cowboys, but never know. Right now, it's the Cowboys that'll be second on the clock. That pick right there in the middle of the first round, where somebody, you know, could be a left tackle. You could get somebody who can also potentially be the next quarterback of the Raiders. Don't know. Then in the late rounds, late first round, you can grab somebody too. You can also turn that late first round pick into an early second round
right.
pick and more
mm-hmm.
picks down the line. I mean, and then the ton of cap space. It's all sitting there. And like I said, anybody who says that Gruden is not the right guy for sure, or the Raiders don't know how to get out of this mess, also can't say that with any certainty.
Rich, I always appreciate your friendship and time. Thanks so much for joining
always,
us.
Always, pal. We'll chat soon.
Oh man. That team, we had no clue what we were doing as rookies. I'm just speaking for myself. I had no clue what I was getting into. You know, people can only tell you so much, and you know, you just hope one day, like, I hope it's not like this, you know, forever. Whereas now, I have faith. You know, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I know it's going to get better. You know, I there's no doubt in my mind. You know, I've seen it. I've been around guys. I've been around coaches. Obviously, it's not doing that right now. But I know in the future, it's going to be a good place to play.
So it's been a struggle for Derek Carr this year, obviously, but his completion percentage is something to build on, and obviously he's showing all of these leadership skills, even though they're going through one of the biggest struggles of his career. Jim Plunkett joins us, the legendary two-time Super Bowl champ, the MVP of Super Bowl 15, the Heisman Trophy winner. Thrilled to have him on the Game Plan podcast. And Jim, let's start off with some big picture analysis of Derek Carr. As you're there in the building at Silver and Black Productions, what are you seeing?
Well, you know, it always doesn't boil down just to the quarterback. There's a lot of working parts, and that starts with the offensive line, the pass protection, and the quarterback looking down the field, having the time to throw, making the big play when needed. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened nearly enough this year. The big play has pretty much been lacking overall for Derek Carr and the Raiders' offense, unfortunately. And you know, that, and those are some of the struggles that they're having right now. They're just not a very good offensive unit.
Now, I wanted to compare the early part of your career when you were with New England and the 49ers. Is it fair to make comparisons to the amount of hits that you were taking early on, the struggles you were going through? Derek started off his career 0-10, and now he's struggling in a losing streak again. Are there similarities that you see with Derek to early on and the prospects that you had and the decisions you made early in your career?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, you're only as good as you know, the people you have around you, and sometimes, and the quarterback obviously, you know, gets a lot of the blame and the credit, whichever way you know, the things are going. And you know, and I struggled. I got beat up. You're behind often, so you've got to throw more often than you want to try and catch up in the score of the ball game, and it makes things very, very difficult. There's no question about it. You know, Derek's suffering right now. You know, he broke his ankle a couple of years ago. I don't know if he's recovered from that, but overall, I think it's just, you know, we're just not a very good offensive cohesive unit right now. And, you know, that's going to change. Everybody's going to get better. The offensive line is going to get better. Receivers are hopefully come back healthy. But you know, that's what's needed here right now. Everybody's got to play their part, do their job. And, you know, it'll all come together. Unfortunately, you know, they're struggling, and there's no way to get around that right now.
Jim, how did you fight through the struggle mentally? Was it coaches? Your mental fortitude and what you accomplished is second to none, in my opinion. But how did you get through those tough times early in your career?
Well, you know, I've had a lot of help from my family and friends, you know. When, you know, New England took a beating, San Francisco took a beating, you know, and they stuck by me. You know, they tried to convince me, you know, it's not your fault. You know, there's, you know, a lot of things that are going on right now. We weren't very good. And that also, you know, in turn, that didn't make me a very good player, having to, you know, run for my life at times and struggling with the offense. And those are the things sometimes, unfortunately, that, you know, quarterbacks and players go through. And, you know, they're going to right the ship. They're going to make things happen. They're going to get back in the playoff picture. And, you know, and hopefully that'll come sooner than later.
Jim Plunkett joins us. Jim, in your film study, when you look at the rookie tackles and the interior of this offensive line, which is supposed to be a strong suit with this team, with Kelechi Osemele, Rodney Hudson's having a big year, Gabe Jackson, what are you seeing with this offensive line that encourages you that they'll get better at the end of this year into next year?
Well, actually, they have two rookies starting on the interior line because of injuries and a second-year guy. So, you know, those guys have a lot to learn. You know, there's a lot on their plate. And you know, offensive line probably takes longer than any other position to get better at, to see all the defenses, to play against individuals who have certain techniques and a knack for getting after the quarterback. You know, and it's going to take a little bit of time for those guys to probably play together as an offensive unit. You know, there's no doubt that they're going to get better. They're young. They're learning under fire, and that's going to help them. But it's going to take time.
Jim, going into the Arizona game with all the injuries at receiver, it's next man up. Jordy Nelson, Martavis Bryant with their injuries. Amari Cooper, as you know, with the trade to Dallas. Can you talk about when someone comes off the practice squad or just someone who on the depth chart gets their chance to play and then they can shine? You played with so many players like that. I talked about that with Matt Millen, talked about it with other players, that when it was next man up, there were Raider players who weren't Hall of Famers, but they stepped into those roles and played their best.
Well, you know, that happens, and hopefully, you know, these guys are waiting for their opportunity to get their chance to get out there and show what they can do. You know, but it all starts with the protection. Can Derek Carr get them the football, number one? Number two, can these guys get open? Number three, can they catch a football? And that's what they have got to prove to the coaches and their teammates out there on the field. You know, you got Jared Cook, who continues to shine, but you have Seth Roberts, who'd like more playing time, Brandon LaFell, who's going to step in and hopefully add to this offense. But, you know, once you get out there, hopefully you'll get your opportunity to show the coaches and your teammates what you can actually do out there. And more often than not, you know, a lot of them come through and wind up in starting roles. So, you know, hopefully that's going to be the trend with the Raiders as well.
Jim, with your great relationship with Mr. Davis when he's alive, and obviously Mark Davis now, and knowing John Gruden, when you're in the building and you see what's happening here, there is now a big picture looking towards next year in the draft. I really don't do this. I really don't want to look at draft picks early in the season because I think the team has to compete week in and week out. But overall, the direction that the organization's going in, knowing that John Gruden is in charge and he has a plan in place, how does he get that plan out to the fans and all the diehard fans of the Raider Nation?
Well, I think the only way you can get that out there to them is, you know, just to start winning. I know there's no question about that. You know, for the fans to watch what's going on now, it's very hard to take. You know, they're obviously fans are a little different breed. You know, they expect success right away. John Gruden's a humongous name among Raider fans from what he did the first time around. And he hasn't left the football scene because he's been on doing TV for the last 10 years. So I think they expect more than they're going to be able to get right away. And that's already shown this year with only one win. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, the long-range goals for Mark Davis and John Gruden is to make this a better football team, a playoff contender year after year, and eventually and hopefully some visits to a Super Bowl in the near future. And, you know, that's what you look forward to. That's what you have to keep your mind on right now. And that's their plan. You know, we've got, two first-round draft picks or three next year. So, you know, that's going to be starting, you know, a real rebuilding of this football team.
Jim, last question. Derek Carr was nominated for the 2018 Art Rooney Sportsmanship Award. And the way he handles himself in every press conference post-game and the media during the week, I really see that in him. He's a sportsman. He's a guy who always tips his cap to his teammates. You were like that. Do you believe that the adversity that Derek Carr is going through, if he is the quarterback long-term, that he'll fight through this and it'll make him a better quarterback?
Well, that's the hope I'm sure of everyone around him, of himself. You know, you get very depressed. You know, I think most quarterbacks, and Derek Carr is like that. He takes, you know, majority of burden on himself. You know, if I could have done this or did this, you know, we could have won a football game here or there. And that's what you want to see in a quarterback. And with his resolve, he's a great kid. He handles the press well, and that's why he's receiving that Rooney Award. But, you know, he's a competitor, and he's going to get the opportunity, hopefully, when this team gets better, to show, you know, the fans what he can do, just as he did a couple of years ago when they were 12-4.
Jim, we always appreciate your time. Thanks a lot so much. I appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you very much, JT.
Always great to catch up with Jim Plunkett. What a great legend. We appreciate his time on The Game Plan. Our next guest is one of the best, if not the best, Raider insider from NBC Sports Bay Area. We welcome Scott Baer. And Scott, I want to jump right in with the breaking news this week that Le'Veon Bell is no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler. He didn't report. He'll be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. Do you believe Bell could become a potential fit for the Raiders and John Gruden?
I mean, I think that he is honestly John Gruden's catnip. He's exactly what John Gruden likes out of rushers, a guy that can protect his quarterback, a guy that can leak into the backfield and make plays. I just think that he is very expensive, but same time, the Raiders have a ton of money, and when you come to this offseason, for as much as people like to hate on the Oakland Raiders right now, they will be, I promise you, the most popular and most talked about team this offseason, because they have three first-round picks, and as I total it right now, when it could get bigger, $82 million in salary cap space.
Yeah, I expect that number to go up. And one more thing on Bell. He is the perfect player that I've seen for the Gruden system. Exactly perfect for the ability to block, to make plays out of the backfield, to get all the targets, and then just to run the football. But I love him as a receiver. But really important point I want to make here is the Raiders did not overpay for Khalil Mack. I don't think either of us would have credibility if we start talking about overpaying for free agents, because the Raiders could have overpaid for Mack, and they chose not to. So I'm talking about a Bell move if it was fair market or a discounted deal. Is that possible in this marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to have to overpay for somebody, and maybe Bell is the right guy. And you always think about overpaying for guys who carry the ball 200 times per game as a suspect possibility, but I think he might be the exception. And if you look at Le'Veon Bell and you say, oh, he's holding out for more money, that's a bad sign. Maybe it's a good sign for the Raiders, because he hasn't gotten hit all year. So he might be more attractive in that perspective. And really, if you look at how the Raiders spent their money, right, it's really easy, JT, and you and I and most people on the national radio talk show scape can blame the Raiders for not paying Khalil Mack, and they could say, oh, well, they paid Derek Carr this money. We can go back and we can take out all of Derek Carr's money, give it all to Mack, and give it all to Cooper, and all these types of things. That's not how the real world works, and you know that, right? Mm-hmm. So they paid Derek Carr. They can get out from that contract, and a guy like Le'Veon Bell, I think, could be Charlie Garner on steroids.
Absolutely.
For the Raiders. I think that he could be a very good pickup, and if you have to pay, I don't know, $14, $15 million a year next year, which is too much money according to this, you know, lots of prognosticators, they can become very good very fast when you add a player like that.
Scott Baer joins us as we game plan for the Arizona Cardinals coming up this Sunday in Glendale. You know, when I was hosting the Derek Carr Show back in 2016, I think he was 10-4 when I had him on before the injury. And every time I interviewed him, he was in a good mood. He was mostly winning games and putting up big numbers. This could be the first time that I have to openly criticize him on the 4th-and-5, because here's my theory. On 4th-and-5, he threw it into the ground instead of making a play. And I understand that if Rashard was covered, there was nothing open, there should have been at least another option. But we're living in a time now this year, Scott, where if he got sacked, there would have been a higher percentage than in years past that he would have picked up a roughing the passer 15-yard penalty for a first down. You were open to the debate on this topic. What was Carr thinking at that moment? And did that shed the light on the problems that he's having this year making progressions and decisions in the pocket?
JT, you absolutely nailed it, man. Because it's against my nature to criticize Derek Carr, because I think he has every throw in the book, and I think that he can do so many good things. But I think that that particular play is a sign that there's a problem in between the ears, right? That something is not going right for him in terms of his choices throwing the football. And yeah, that was his intended receiver, was Jalen. And he didn't go there, and that play wasn't open. But you can't concede there. It doesn't matter if you just are continuing down the line with Melvin Ingram bearing down on you, and you huck it towards Jared Cook, who made a terrible pick on that play. But you have to do something, because what he did, even if it wasn't intentional, is a sign of concession for a team that everyone thinks is conceding the entire season. It's a bad look, and it just allows a lot of writers to write the fact that this personifies the entire Raiders season, which is not true. John Gruden's trying to win every single football game. The talent on this team is trying to do better, and they are trying to do better for Las Vegas and for the future. But ultimately, that is a very bad look, and I think it was a bad look for, ultimately, the Raiders franchise quarterback, who, for the first time ever, just like you said, JT, and you are as honest and truthful about the Raiders as anyone on this planet, right? And I can now join you in saying, for the first time ever, I am now doubting if Derek Carr is a long-term franchise quarterback for this team, not because of what I think, but really because of the opportunities that John Gruden has to move on from this guy. Mm-hmm. And I think that conceding in that particular spot is not a good look.
Yeah, that's why I hope Carr comes back, and I hope Gruden can get him to play at a higher level, because I think that's one of the main reasons John came back. I think he loves his work ethic, his big arm, his ability to make plays, and there's still time to turn this around. It's much different reloading, rebuilding, doing whatever you want to do with a roster when you have a quarterback, instead of not having a quarterback and then having to go down and get three new linebackers, a complete new defensive backfield, new receivers. I mean, we both seen Carr play at a high level. I hope he can do it again. And I wanted to end up with the respect that I have for you, because you know me for a while now, and I'm getting agitated by the national, the local media, fans who are using every example they can to troll Gruden and the organization. What I mean by that, every time Amari Cooper makes a play, do I have to look on Twitter and hear someone say, well, you know, he could have made that with the Raiders? Or every time Matt gets a sack, there's a gift, there's a retweet, and someone's mocking Gruden and the Raider organization. When will this stop? And are people doing this now for clickbait and just to be known? Because we know that the Mac trade was very emotional. We understand that Cooper was supposed to be a lifelong Raider. But people, Scott, are just piling on, and you're right there in the middle of the Bay Area watching this.
Yeah, JT, I really think this is a very unique situation, because under normal circumstances, after that Cooper trade, we're not talking about how the Raiders are having a fire sale. We are talking about how the Raiders fleeced Dallas for a first-round pick for somebody that isn't worth even Sammy Watkins' money. But John Gruden, Mark Davis, and the entire Silver and Black organization is in a particular spot where they are looking towards the future. They are trying to rebuild this team with a deconstruction/reconstruction, tear down, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. And they're doing that understanding this is going to take some time. Well, Oakland Raiders fans, literally Oakland Raiders fans who live in Walnut Creek and Berkeley and Albany and Concord, they don't feel the same way. Mm-hmm. And the Bay Area media, of which I am a part of, but I am tall enough to be able to say what's what, right, mm-hmm. is that they are looking at this as this team is leaving our area, and we're going to criticize it until it's gone. They are not acknowledging a bigger picture phenomenon or a bigger picture vision that John Gruden is having. So while there is a national storyline about what the Raiders are trying to do, a la the Philadelphia 76ers or the Houston Astros, there is a local storyline that is driving these Raiders, honestly, into the ground locally, because people are frustrated. And that's what happens when it comes to relocation. And I know this answer is going on quite a bit here, but I'm just trying to tell your listeners exactly what's going on here. This is a unique situation where you have a local fan base that is frustrated and bummed that they're losing their NFL franchise. You also have John Gruden is trying to do the best thing that he possibly can by Mark Davis by fixing his franchise in the long term. So he is serving two masters here, and he can't possibly make both of them happy. That's why this thing is difficult. That's why this is hard. That's why the negative coverage inside this Bay Area and it will leak nationally is going to continue across the 2018 season.
Fabulous conversation. I'll see you out in Glendale. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks to Scott Baer, who also has a podcast. Give Scott a follow on social media at Scott Baer. Our final guest on the game plan is in the booth for this one, the color analyst for CBS, 7-year safety in the NFL and had an excellent career. Adam Archuleta joins us. And Adam, as we begin, I want to start off with some positives or negatives. When you're breaking down film coming into a game like this and looking at this, there are more negatives than positives. How does that change your preparation?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think every time, whether it's these teams or any team, you go into it and you're trying to break things down. You're trying to see, okay, what's the story about these teams, and what's interesting? You know, what are fans wondering? And they want to know, hey, if we're not playing well, you know, why exactly is that happening? What do we need to do better to play well? And then there's always, you know, what can we look forward to and give us a silver lining? So I always try and go to every game looking at those things. And then obviously using my opinion and saying, okay, what is it that's interesting about this game from my eyes? And that's kind of the template that I use.
As a former defensive player here, what jumps out at me, Arizona, dead last in the NFL in offense, 32nd overall, and they're really struggling in the passing game, but they're dead last in rushing at only 70 yards per game, and they're dead last by 10 yards. And the Raiders, as you're looking at them on film, are having a really tough time stopping running backs the entire year in regards to their tackling and wrapping. So I'm just wondering if you think Arizona, with a young, struggling quarterback, is going to want to run the ball to increase their stats and be a better running team against a struggling Raider defense against the run.
Yeah, you would like to think that. And look, you know, Arizona, they've had multiple issues on offense. You know, I think they're kind of lacking as far as playmakers. You know, David Johnson is their guy. Larry Fitzgerald, you know, one of the best to ever play. But, you know, he's towards the end of his career. And, you know, you need some other options that are extremely explosive. I think they really struggled with their identity earlier in the year, the Cardinals, with their play caller. I think it was wise to kind of move on from Mike McCoy. I don't know how much of a change Byron Leftwich can do since taking over as the coordinator. The one thing you've seen in the last 2 weeks since he has been taken over is that there is more of a concentrated effort in getting the ball to their playmakers. You know, David Johnson last week had his best game of the season, both running and receiving, and he is your best player on offense. So, yeah, absolutely. They're going to try and get the ball into his hands and kind of do the same thing that the Chargers did to the Raiders. Now, you look at that game last week, and you had the big missed tackle on Melvin Gordon. But I thought generally the defense for the Raiders, they played pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, they need to make more impact plays. They need to get more sacks. They have to create more turnovers. But outside of that, you know, that missed tackle on the screen pass, I thought they generally played about as good as they played all season. And they're going to have to do the same thing against the Cardinals and David Johnson as well.
Yeah, that's great analysis, because you know that the Raiders struggle on defense with misdirection and the screen pass. And you're talking about, if you go back the last couple of years with David Johnson, especially fantasy numbers, he's exceptional catching the ball out of the backfield. The Raiders are going to have to deal with Kansas City twice later on in the season, and that could be a nightmare in regards to picking up backs out of the backfield. So you would think that Paul Gunther and this defense, and even though it's next man up, Adam, with Khalil Mack, we've covered that all year, these players that are there have got to do a better job on the Raiders keeping running backs in front of them and making sure they gang tackle and get them to the ground.
It is. And you also, you know, when I really sat down, and I'm not, you know, I'm only in the beginning parts of my preparation for the Raiders, but man, they play a lot of guys. You know, they play a lot of linebackers and a lot of different guys in the secondary. And you just think of all of the moving parts. You know, you trade, you know, Bruce Irvin and getting rid of Khalil Mack. It's so difficult to build chemistry and a cohesion and to have an identity when you have all those different moving parts together. So, you know, that's kind of a big deal. And they haven't been able to find that guy or guys to be able to make plays up front and get after the quarterback. You know, that's sorely been missing. And that's, you know, two things that go along with playing great defense is being able to pressure and get quarterbacks out of rhythm
And that should in turn lead to turnover plays, interceptions, you know, forced fumbles. And those are two things that the Raiders defense has been missing the entire season.
Former NFL safety Adam Archuleta joins us as we wrap this up. What a career, and obviously a great analyst now for CBS. He'll be on the call for the Raiders at the Cardinals coming up this Sunday. From a Derek Carr perspective, he's checking down a lot. He's got a high completion percentage, but they're not attacking deep downfield. What's that like from a former player from the safety perspective, knowing that Carr can do it? He's done it throughout his career, attacking deep downfield, but the Raiders aren't doing it this year. I'm thinking Arizona is going to stack the box and try to get Carr to beat them downfield. Is that fair?
Yeah, look, I'll take that any day. You know, that's what a defense wants, because now it's all about just coming up and playing with leverage and tackling. Look, you can say what you want about, in the last few years, maybe this horizontal spread game, high percentage, high completion percentage passing game, but the teams that are effective and the best offenses in the league, they throw the ball downfield, and they are so good at the deep intermediate passing game. And if you don't have that element to your offense to scare defenses or get a defense to respect that, then you're playing right into the defense's hands. And look at all of the good offenses this year. And what are they? They're creative. They do a great job of getting matchups, and they work tirelessly to get those 15 to 30-yard chunky pass plays. Now, you don't have to throw long bombs or 50-yard bombs, but if you're consistently working and stressing a defense to get those 20, 25-yard completions down the field, you know, that's what offense is all about, and that is what's missing right now from the Raiders' offense. So if I'm a defense, I'm loving playing a quarterback that's checking the ball down, because you just made my job that much easier.
Adam, last question. You'll be talking to John Gruden. There's a plan in place with 5 first-round picks in the next 2 years. Obviously, a lot of players are leaving and won't be back next year. Do you think this is a smart plan, considering the salary cap relief that they're going to have and what Gruden's going to have to nail in the draft coming up next year?
You know, it's hard to say, because, look, he's got stability with big contracts, so he has the opportunity to do this thing exactly his way. And, you know, we can all sit there and poke holes in it and say that, man, this is crazy. Like, you're just letting all of your talent out the door. But the reality of it is, it's his way. And you're not going to know the fruits of that for the next 2 or 3 years. I will know this. You know, you can stack draft picks and you can get number one picks and all that. But if you hit on 50% of your picks, you're probably doing a good job. So even though you have all those draft picks, there's a good chance that not all of them are going to pan out, and not all of those are going to be great players. So I think it's going to be extremely interesting. But I would be frustrated if I was in that locker room and I didn't have any indication that me or my teammates are part of this plan, and everybody's talking about, you know, bringing in different guys, and we're going to decimate this roster. It's hard to build that family chemistry. It's hard to build that bond, and I would be frustrated in that locker room, and I'm sure I would be, if I was a fan of the Raiders, I would be extremely frustrated as well. But, you know, this is what you get when you give him that contract, and you're going to have to be patient and see how it pans out in 2 or 3 years.
Adam, I really respect your work. You're a great analyst. Thanks so much for giving us some time today. Really appreciate it.
Yep, no problem. Anytime.
You got it. There he is, Adam Archuleta, who was a really hard-hitting safety back in the day, and I think one of the more underrated analysts out there. He really understands the game from a defensive perspective, and he'll be on the call Sunday on CBS. A couple of quick things as we wrap up this edition of The Game Plan. As I've said in the past, my goal was never to look at the future on this. From time to time, we would have to. But with all the movement, all the injuries, all the trades, the players that are coming and going, we're doing that now. And I hope you appreciate the honesty that we're hearing from all the guests, especially Scott Baer earlier, who's embedded with this team and was, you know, pretty emotional talking about what it's like to cover a team going through this process. But I'm excited. I'm a positive guy when it comes to the Raiders. I believe in Coach Gruden and the plan that he has in place. It's been tough on the fans. And when you look at this podcast, the game plan, the fans are downloading it, and we really appreciate that. And we're going to start to talk about the issues going forward. From the fit, could Le'Veon Bell be a fit? Could there be another player out there? In weeks to come, maybe a draft pick. Are they going to look at a certain player? That will come. But I think from week to week, we want to stay with the goal of looking at the upcoming opponent. And this is an interesting game. The Raiders have one win. The Cardinals have two. But I really cherish the opportunity to do this every week and talk football. And I thank you for downloading the podcast once again. For everyone at Silver and Black Productions, keep it to Raiders.com for all your updated news. And we'll see you next week on The Game Plan.
Thank you for listening to The Game Plan on the official Raiders Podcast Network.